Good morning, church. Morning, church.
Morning.
Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We continue on our series of studies in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. This morning, we're looking at verse 11 to verse 15. Though I will read from verse 9 to verse 15. The title of the message, Praying in Your Needs. It reads as following. I will start from verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. One of the most precious revelations we have received about God is the fact that God is faithful. God is kind. God is caring. God is love. He is revealed in Scripture as the one who can solve our problems, the one who can deal with our dilemmas in this world. And He has been dealing with the problems and the cares of this world and the cries of this world in each and every generation. In Christ, He has dealt with the problem of sin. In Christ, He blesses His people. In Christ, He welcomes sinners before His throne of grace. And in Christ, He makes sure that as we come to the throne of grace, we don't live there without receiving a blessing. We live the throne of grace as a blessed people of God. A blessed people who understand something of God's love. A blessed people who live for the glory of God. A blessed people who live to honor the name of the Lord. People excited to be citizens of the kingdom of God. Thereby, they go out and bring men, women, and child into the kingdom of God by the preaching of the gospel. Men who live to honor God. Men and women who live to honor God. So, people like that, they pray for the kingdom of God to come in its fullness. We have seen that last week. People like that, they pray for the will of God to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Why will they pray in that way? Because in that, they know that the name of the Lord will be honored. As we pray for the kingdom of God and the will of God, the name of God is honored. We are a people who are blessed because we have that kind of an understanding. 2 weeks ago, I led you to think of God as a father who cares for his children. A father who longs for an intimate relationship with his children through prayer. And last week as well, we saw that the primary focus of your prayer life should be the glory of God. But I want to tell you, friends, this morning that there is more than that. Once you have dealt with what is in God's heart, once you have dealt with the glory of God, you then turn to God and you bring your request to Him and you make them known to God. And that kind of a language is familiar. That kind of a language is throughout the Scripture. If I can just quote one text for you, that once you deal with the glory of God, once you deal with what is in God's heart, then you come to God and you cast everything unto Him that is your case or your own concern. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It reads as following. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So once we have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, once you have a saving relationship with God, once you have your room or your place in heaven through Christ Jesus, then you should not be dominated by anxiety. You should not be dominated by the cares of this world, because your Father who is in heaven inclines his ear unto you as you pray unto him, and is able to bless you and bless you indeed as you cast your burden upon him. That is what we see here. We have seen in verse number 9 that prayer was designed for Christians. And it is an act of faith in the Father who is in heaven. In prayer, God has made it possible for us as his children to talk to him. Therefore, we do not sit around and fold our hands and claim that God already knows our heart, so we will not pray. We come to God regardless of the fact that he knows our hearts. And I will explain to you why we do also, you still come to him although he knows your heart. But you don't sit around. You come to him although God knows your heart. Because God has ordained prayer to be a mean or a way to for us to pour out our hearts unto him. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 50, verse 15. If you can just listen. And call upon me in the day of trouble. This is God talking to his children. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your burdens, cast all your worries, cast all your cares, cast all your concern on him, because he cares. But of course, friends, we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says then everything else will follow. So the message is that God is ready to take care of us. God is ready to look after us as his children. Because in Christ, we have become God's personal responsibility. We are God's personal responsibility in Christ Jesus. He has to care for us. We are his children. That's the kind of a father that he is. If we have worries and cares, it becomes his concern. In Christ, we have become a personal responsibility to God. The Bible says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. He gave him up for us all. How can then he not also with him graciously give us all things? Therefore, I'm mixing a lot of scriptures here. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Therefore, the question is, friends, what are we to ask for on a personal basis as we come to God? What is it that we need to bring to him? And the answer is before us this morning. We have three petitions to pray in for our needs on a daily basis. Three petitions we need to bring to God on a daily basis. Firstly, pray for your physical needs. Pray for your physical needs. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. What you see here, friends, is that the Christian should depend upon God. As Ababaras was saying in his prayer, we must depend upon God for our daily sustenance. For our daily living, we must depend on God. We must ask God to grant us things for the day. The Christian needs to understand that he can have nothing outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside God's provision, we can have nothing. The Christian needs to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God, even our daily needs. There's a phrase there It says, give us. That simply means, grant us. Or mercifully supply us. It's a prayer. Mercifully supply us, O God. It is a request that we make to God so that God will then reach out to us. We need God to reach unto us as we pray to Him. So we are reminded here that as a child of God, you must ask and not demand. We must be a people who are taught well. As we come to prayer, we ask. We come with humble hearts. We come to ask. We are not coming to demand. We are not a people who can demand anything from God. But we can only ask. So what is important to notice here, friends, is that we must ask, but whatever we ask is dependent upon God's approval. In other words, God does not owe us anything. But as we ask, we depend upon Him to approve on what we are asking. God will hear our prayers and He will put them in a fair balance with His will. So He will not give us something outside His will. He will always give us something in accordance to His will. So our motivation is that our God has the ability and the grace to provide. That is what motivates us to come to prayer. We are not motivated to come to prayer because we have powerful prayers. We are motivated because the Father we are praying to cares for us and He has the ability and the grace to provide for us. It says, give us our daily bread. There's a sense here that God provides daily. But also there's a sense here that we must ask on daily basis, as I was saying. On daily basis, we must be a people who are on our knees to God. And coming to God to ask on daily basis for daily needs. Whatever you need for the day, you ask the Lord. I don't know how to put it, but I will say it is embarrassing. Personal embarrassing to you as a Christian, to me as a Christian, to do anything in a day without asking God's grace upon it. A Christian who wakes up and goes to work without saying, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm on the road, it's dangerous, save me and save those who are driving with me. Small things like that. Those are our daily needs we need to bring to God. Yes, more than that, but we must be a people who are on our knees on daily basis. Give us our daily bread. So we need to have faith in the Lord and live by that faith towards God's providence. I think a perfect illustration that I can bring to you now is the manna in the book of Exodus. Remember what the Bible tells us there? It says that the Bible tells us that the bread, the manna, was provided daily. On daily basis, God provided the people of Israel the manna. But here is something that you need to catch as well. The Israelites had to trust God on daily basis for that manna. They had to stand there and pray and believe that God will supply the same even the next day. Because God did not allow them to carry through the food of a day to another day. God did not allow them to take the manna to another day. So you have to eat for today and trust the Lord for tomorrow. That is what God wants us. The attitude that He wants from us in terms of faith. To trust in Him that He will also provide for us something for the next day. Not only did God provide them food, friends, because we serve a miracle working God. Not only did God provide them food. The Bible tells us that for 40 years in the wilderness, they needed no doctor. Can you imagine that? 40 years in the wilderness without any need of a doctor. No flu, no cholera, no malaria, no whatever. 40 years God looking after His people, providing them their daily need, the need of health. For 40 years, God made sure that their clothes will not wear out. Can you imagine wearing the same thing for 40 years without this thing wearing out? It seems impossible.
The Bible says for 40 years, God provided for his people. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who is able to provide for his people. So Jesus says here, you must ask for your daily needs. You must ask for your daily sustenance. You must come to God and bring your needs to God. So once you have considered the glory of God, as we were talking about last week, once you have considered that glory of God in prayer, you must also look at both your needs and the needs of the church. Look at the needs of the church and your need and bring them to God. Because the Bible tells us, friends, that no one can have anything unless God gives. So, in other words, my friend, there is no crime for the believer in praying for material needs. There is no crime there. You pray for material needs because God gives us our daily needs. Let me quote a text that is mostly used in the unbiblical churches, but I will just quote it in its context. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 10. Listen to what the Bible says. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my border. Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory, and that your hand might be with me, and that you will keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And the Bible says, the Lord granted what he asked. A man asked for personal needs. Things had to do with physical needs. He asked from the Lord. However, friends, I must make it clear to you, it is important that you know God did not promise any of us here. He did not promise us riches. There is no text in scripture that says God has promised us to be rich. God has not promised us riches, friends. Christianity is not about you coming to prayer with a shopping list. You know, these days people come to God, the first thing when they open their mouth, "Lord this, Lord that, Lord this, Lord that." We must not bring a shopping list when we come to God. That is not what prayer is about. And I want to prove to you that this is not a petition or a prayer for prosperity. Because it is my duty, my friends, to help you flee from the demon-possessed man standing behind pulpits promising you prosperity at the expense of your soul. This is a petition for our daily provision. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's turn together there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I will read from verse 8 to 9. There's something I want us to see there as we read through. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 to 9. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. What is it that brings contentment to a believer? And what is it that is dangerous to a believer? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 to 9. "But if we have food and clothing, with this we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." The Apostle Paul says we need to have something that will sustain us for a day, because if we want more than that, we'll fall into ruins and destruction. And of course, friends, I'm not saying that this verse says it is sin to be rich. To be rich is not a sin. But riches is not our end goal. Riches is not our goal at all. Praise the Lord if the Lord blesses you or gives you riches. But it is not our end goal. That is what the apostle says here. So Jesus is commanding us to pray for our needs, not our wants. Our needs, not our wants. We must pray for our needs. Our prayers, in other words, must not be driven by greed. Our prayers must not be driven by self-centeredness. Our prayers must not be driven by the sin of covetousness, which leads us to desire other people's stuff and believe that we also deserve that. We need to pray for things necessary for our survival. That is our daily needs. things necessary for our survival. Listen to what the wise man says in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Listen to this one. We don't have to open. He says, "Remove far from me falsehoods and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me." I'm going to repeat that. "Feed me with food that is needful now for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." In other words, give me something that is necessary for me, that I may not be poor, but also that I may not be rich. Because when I'm rich, I forget you. When I'm poor, I steal and I profane the name of the Lord. God, give me something that is necessary for my survival. That is what this is about. Friends, of course, we don't want to be poor for a non-God-glorifying reason. So we will pray against poverty. We will ask the Lord's grace, because we believe that it is spiritual to pray for material needs. We believe it is spiritual to pray for the necessity of life. We believe that it is necessary to pray for these things. But that is not our motivation. Our motivation is our love for Christ. Do you love Jesus? What you are praying for, will it make you love Jesus more? Will it draw you closer to the cross? So just as natural bread gives strength to the body, whatever we pray for as our daily bread must be able to give us strength to work in the kingdom of God. Whatever we pray for has to benefit the kingdom of God, my friends. Because if it is for self-glory, there is a possibility that you will pray and pray and pray in vain. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 3. I love James. I was blessed with chapter 2 as we were reading it this morning. I wish I was preaching on James. But listen to chapter 4, verse 3. "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. You ask to spend it on your passions." That is why you're asking. You just want to glorify yourself. You just want people to see you as something when you are nothing. You ask in vain. You ask wrongly. That is what James said. So friends, we must pray that the Lord will meet our physical needs. We must pray for the job seekers in the church. We must pray for our children's future. We must pray for our own future. We must pray for our land. We must pray for those who write exams, but they must also study. We must pray for them. We must pray for the sick. We must pray for our businesses. We must pray for the poor in the church. We must pray to God. We must bring these things unto Him. So Jesus is reminding us here that God is the ultimate source of everything. God is the ultimate source of our needs. All that you need to do is to ask. You must ask with sincerity of heart. Come and ask, and God will provide for you. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter number 4. He says, once you have the glory of God at the center of your heart, once you have the glory of God standing before you all your life, then you labor for the gospel. There is no question about that. You will labor for the gospel. And then he says in verse number 19, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will supply. So pray for all of your needs. There is no crime in praying for your needs. Secondly, pray for your personal forgiveness. Verse 12. "And forgive us our debt as we also have forgiven our debtors." Verse 14 to 15. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Here we see two things, friends. First, this is a prayer for personal forgiveness. Personal forgiveness of sin. Secondly, we see that there's a warning towards a failure to forgive others. So first, we see the need of praying for the forgiveness of sin. but also a warning for towards a failure to forgive others their own sin. So according to Jesus here, we have a need, which is also a daily need. The need for the forgiveness of our sin. It is also a daily need to be forgiven our sin. The need to be reconciled with God. The need to have a healthy relationship with God. And in the context here, it says, then we sin on daily basis. If this need for the forgiveness of sin is on daily basis, which means that we sin on daily basis. So we need to come to God on daily basis and say, Lord, forgive us our sin. Why would you want to come to God on daily basis? Because we don't want sin to occupy us and rule us. We don't want sin to reign in our mortal bodies. We don't want to be slave of sin. We don't want to be identified with sinners. Young lady, you don't want to be identified with prostitutes. Young man, you don't want to be identified with thieves and the drug dealers. Older women, you don't want to be identified with the gossipers of Olivet. Men, you don't want to be identified as an adulterer and children molester. You must be identified with Christ. That is why we pray on daily basis. We seek God's grace on daily basis. You don't want to fall into that trap of false theology that is out there in the many so-called churches that are out there, the churches outside the Reformed faith. The false theology that once you say a prayer after a pastor, then you are ready for heaven. No, friends, we need a daily cleansing. We need God to cleanse us on daily basis. We need God's holiness to come through into our lives and sanctify us through and through. It is not enough to say a prayer after someone and think then you are ready for heaven, but without a desire to purify yourself on a daily basis by confessing your sins before God. Friends, we need to put off sin and put on Christ. That is what this is about. It says, they forgive us our debts. The word debt there speaks of an amount that is owed, an amount that is due to someone. It also speaks then of sin. In other words, we must pray for our sin on a daily basis. Why? Because sin breaks our fellowship with God. Because of sin, we lose a sense of His presence. Because of sin, we lose our joy in the Lord. Because of sin, we lose our peace in this world. Peace with God, peace with one another, because of sin. The question then that I need to pose to you, my friend, the question that I need, that it may sink in your heart right now. When last have you asked God to forgive you your sins? When last have you done that? Are you aware that you have daily sins that need a daily cleansing? When will you agree with the Lord Jesus Christ that you need forgiveness, my friend? When are you planning to ask, forgive me my debts? When are you planning to ask that? Does it even occur to you that you contaminate yourself with sin every day, but you cannot cleanse yourself? You cannot save yourself from that sin. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to stand before God humbly like David in Psalm 51. You need to stand before God and admit on your sin. Admit of your guilt, my friends. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 1-4. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your ways and blameless in your judgment. Cleanse me, O God, on a daily basis. Unto you have I sinned. I sinned. Cleanse me. David understood that he needed to find this cleansing from God, because no one else can cleanse you. So Jesus says, come to God for the cleansing power. You need this cleansing power on a daily basis. But friends, I need to pose another question. Does this then mean that our forgiveness depends on our forgiving spirit toward others? Because the Bible says, as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. So does it say then that God must forgive us because we first forgive other people? does it say that? Friends, I think what is revealed here is that you need the grace of God in your life. You need the grace of God for the forgiveness of your sins. But then once you obtain that grace of God, you then work out your salvation with trembling and fear by applying the very same kind of a method of forgiveness unto others, those who sin against you on daily basis. In other words, we are saying to God, do unto me as I do unto others. Forgive me. If I fail to forgive others, I do not deserve your forgiveness, O God. Help me practice what I want to see done in my own life. That is what we are saying when we say, as we also have forgiven others. So, do unto me as I do unto others. Are you ready to forgive? Or you just want to keep grudges, all those kind of things in your heart? Because as you do that, you are saying, Lord, look unto me and deal with me as I'm dealing with other people. So friends, we see that forgiveness then, or forgiving others, is not optional. If you have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, you must also forgive. The Bible says, remember in chapter number 5, do not avenge yourself. We did and unpack that in chapter number 5. You can go to the website and listen to the message again. But let me read for you Romans 12 verse 18 to 21. It's a similar kind of an idea. Listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Romans 12 verse 18 to 21. If possible, so far it depends on you. What I'm going to say, it depends on you. Live peaceable with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on him, on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, that is the Christian attitude. That is the Christian life. Is that your life? Is that your attitude? Are you still a revengeful person? Are you still keeping something within your heart against someone else? How would you say then, Lord, forgive me my sin as I forgive those who sin against me? In verse 14 and 15, he says, in other words, we need forgiveness, but we also need to forgive others, because we also wrong other people. Remember, you wrong people. That's why people also wrong you. Since you are able to wrong people, admit then that people will wrong you from time to time. One of the saddest things in the ministry is to deal with Christians who have wronged each other and they are not willing to forgive one another. That is sad. That is very sad. So Jesus says, in other words, how can you expect God to deal with you gently and passionately when you cannot deal with others in the same manner? How can you expect God to be nice with you when you are not nice with others? How can you expect to be forgiven your sin when you also have an unforgiving heart? How can you expect to be right with God when you are deliberately ignoring the need to be right with others? How can you expect God to deal with you in that way? Because, my friends, if that is your attitude, you know nothing of forgiveness. So let this be a reminder to you that you must also cast your poor soul at the feet of the cross. Cast your poor soul in the Savior's feet. Come to Him with repentance and faith. Remember, forgiveness is always connected to the confession of sins, my friend. You must confess your sin and repent. You must repent. Remember, my friend, God is willing and able to forgive you, but God is not going to repent for you. You need personal repentance. And after you have repented, show fruit keeping with repentance by forgiving those who sin against you. In other words, you must be willing to be sinless, my friend. Whether that is possible or impossible, I am saying you must have the desire to stand before God blameless. You must have the desire to stand before God with no guilt hanging over your shoulders, as it were. And the only way that is possible, my friend, it is to constantly plead with God to forgive you your own sin. You need, in other words, you need to agree with God that your life does not line up with His will. Your life does not line up with His word. On daily basis, agree with God. In prayer, ask for forgiveness. In prayer, be reminded to forgive others. Thirdly, your third need of the day. Pray for protection against future temptation. Verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Friends, though temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. If you are tempted, you have not yet sinned. But temptation leads to sin. So that is why we need to pray. Because the temptation, when it continues in the same way, it will lead you to sin. You are praying because only God is able to rescue you from the power of the devil, the power of temptation, your own desires of the heart. Only God can rescue from temptation. The word temptation means to be tried, to be tested, to be challenged. It's like putting a weight on a scale to determine how heavy it is. In other words, to be tempted is not to sin, but it is a test of your faith. We are being put on a scale, in other words, to see how much can you endure. How much faith do you have? Like a weight that is put on a scale to determine its density. That's what is happening when you are tempted. You have been put on a scale, a spiritual scale, to see how heavy are you. And you will be very light in that scale. If you don't read God's word, you don't pray on a daily basis, you'll be light, and temptation will sweep you away like a flood, washing away all that is before it. We need to be heavy. There must be density within us. So temptation, friends, is a test of your faith. Two things we see from this petition. One, lead us not. It's a prayer. Secondly, deliver us. So we need to ask God not to allow the devil to tempt us. Because, friends, our enemy is the devil. He has accepted that enmity between us and him. It is about time that we also accept the enmity we have between us and the devil, and thereby stop playing the game that the devil is playing with us on a daily basis. Accept enmity. In other words, accept that he is your enemy. You are his enemy. You are not friends. Accept that. So don't play a game with him. And he passes you the ball, you pass back the ball. He throws it to you, he throws it back to him. Accept he is your enemy. James chapter 4, chapter 1 verse 13 says, listen to this one. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Friends, the devil is the problem here. Don't say, I am tempted by God. James continues, says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So James says, you cannot blame God for your temptation. You need to pray to God against the temptation. And friends, all of us here suffer some kind of temptation from on a daily basis. No one is immune. We all suffer temptation on a daily basis. But God wants us to be perfect. God wants us to stand before him blameless, for he is also blameless. God wants us to stand before him in that image of his son who was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, yet he did not sin. That's what God wants from us, a people who will not be tempted and fall into sin. So the prayer is that God will not allow the devil to tempt us. Because the devil is the one who alludes us to sin. It is the devil who leads us to sin. So we must pray for God's protection. We must pray for God's helping hand. We need God to guide us and walk with us side by side on a daily basis, that the devil may not take over our lives. Pray that God will lift you up above the horizon of the snare of the devil. That is your daily need, my friend. Of course, I'm talking about now external forces which lead men into temptation, and then they end up sinning. But not only is the devil a problem, friends. The devil is not only the problem. Can I tell you who else is the problem? You are the problem. You are the problem. You need to pray against your own sinful desires. We have sinful desires within us. We must pray against those things. Listen to Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Listen to what the Bible says. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Jesus is not saying from the devil comes these things. Let me read again. From within, out of man's heart, comes this thing. Pride and all these things. He continues to say, all these evil things come from within and it defiles the person. You are also your own personal problem. That is why you cannot just pray against the devil. You must look unto you. That is why, friends, those people who pray against the devil and bind him, they continue to sin because they don't purify their lives on a daily basis. It is not enough to pray against the devil. You need to live a life that is glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. It is not enough. We must pray against what is within us. We must pray to be protected against those sinful desires. We must personally ask the Lord for His restraining grace, that God will restrain sin, that God will protect us against temptation, that we will not fall into sin as a people of God. We must pray, lead us not into temptation. In other words, do not allow us into temptation. Let me read James again. I told you I love James today. James chapter 1 verse 14. Listen to what James says. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. A person is tempted when he's dragged away by his own evil desires and is enticed by these desires. He finds pleasure in following and falling into these desires. So we need to pray against desiring anything in contrary to God, in contrary to the revealed will of God. Again, here in verse number 13, there is also a plea for deliverance that we must ask. We must ask for deliverance. Deliverance from what? He says, deliver us from evil. Friends, we need deliverance from this present evil age. We need deliverance from this age of sin. We need to pray for the kingdom of God to come, that we may be taken to glory, that we may not suffer the sin of this world anymore. We need to be delivered from the present evil age. But since the context here is in relation to praying for the glory of God today, the context is in relation for praying for our needs today. In other words then, we need deliverance from evil today, on daily basis as well. Not just the evil age, but things that are happening on daily basis. We need deliverance from evil today. We need deliverance from telling lies. We need deliverance from stealing. We need deliverance from sexual lust. We need deliverance from disobeying our parents. We need deliverance from sinful anger. We need deliverance from hatred, from gossip, from deceiving one another, from lack of commitment in the family, from lack of commitment in the church, spiritually and physically. We need deliverance from those things. We need deliverance from worldliness. We need deliverance from the false doctrines of the charismatic deliverance movement out there. We need deliverance. Lord, deliver us from this evil. We need to pray. We need deliverance, my friend. Paul says in Romans chapter number 7, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Paul knew that the body is the problem. Who will deliver me from the body of sin? Later on in the same chapter, it says, praise to God for Jesus. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 in the same context. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews 2, verse 18. "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able then to help those who are tempted, because he has suffered also temptation." We need to trust in God on a daily basis. There's something of encouragement to you, my friend. One more text. Let me show you that God is faithful. God is just. He's able to help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." Another version says, "He will not let you be tempted beyond your capability to stand firm." Because God is faithful. "But with the temptation, he will also provide a way to escape, that you may be able to endure." So friends, we need deliverance from this present age. We need deliverance on daily basis. We must be on our knees on daily basis to God. But also we need deliverance from Satan himself as a person. We need deliverance from he who is in business of destroying people's lives. So your prayer should be, "Lord, do not allow me to be tempted beyond my capabilities to stand. Lord, do not allow me to be exposed to temptation that I may fall. Be my guide, O Jehovah, in this world of sin and temptation. Jesus, hold me closer to you. Unto your arms, O God, I come. Unto your loving arms, my Savior, I come. I draw near to you. I draw near to you to dwell with you in your heavenly home. Unto my knees I fall and cry. Cleanse me and purify me on daily basis. Purify my heart. Wrap me around your arms that I may not sin against you. Deliver me from this snare of the devil on daily basis. Deliver me from lack of giving. Deliver me from lack of praying. Deliver me from the jaws of hell. Deliver me, my God." Let me close like this, my friends. Do not let the devil rob you of your privilege to ask God anything. Do not let the devil to bring fear in your heart. If something is your need, bring it to God. Cast all your burdens unto Jesus. He will sustain you. He cares for you on a daily basis. He knows about the lack of finances to finish your studies. He knows about the lack of finances to send your children to college. He knows everything about you. He knows about the lack of finances for you to have a home of your own. Jesus knows everything. Bring everything unto him in prayer. Pray to him who supplies all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Pray to him who will not give you a snake when you are asking for a fish. Pray to him who will not give you a stone when you are asking for bread. Pray to him who will not give you hell when you are asking for heaven. Pray to Jesus on a daily basis. Ask God for the cleansing power, that your sin may be forgiven. Pray with an understanding that your prayer is only effective on basis of a healthy relationship between you and God, between you and your friends. Do not hold bitterness in your heart. You must pray for the forgiveness of sin. Must also forgive easily, for the Lord has forgiven you as well. Make sure that you fix your relationship with others before it causes tension between you and your God. Your relationship with other people that is broken will cause tension between you and God. Seek for God's forgiveness on a daily basis. Seek for forgiveness, my friend. But also seek forgiveness from your fellow man. Not only from God. People want to sin against one another, but they only want to go to God and say, "Lord, I have sinned." Go to your friend. Tell your friend, "I have sinned." And when your friend tells you, "I have sinned," don't act like you're so super spiritual, but then you act there like you don't sin. You also have your own sin. Forgive. Forgive. Pray for God's protection. Watch over your heart by feeding it with God's word. Remember that temptation is everywhere, my friend. The Bible says, "Then be sober-minded, be watchful. The adversary, The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Be watchful, my friends. Build a security wall around you through prayer so that you may not fall into temptation. And if it happens that you fall into temptation, lift up your eyes unto heaven. Lift up your eyes away from the snare of the devil and call upon the name of the Lord. Pray then like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. Are you that person? Do you hold God's glory in one hand and also hold your need in one hand and bring everything to God in prayer? Pray to God. He's ready to listen to you. Let's pray. Baba Rice, you can pray for us.